All right, here we are. Good evening, everyone.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going all right.
So, Umihara Kawase, fresh.
Yeah. I picked this up on, what, Tuesday? Like, I went on this rampage because my Best Buy Gamers Club expires in September. And so I just, went on a rampage, like, pre-ordering. Like, especially Switch stuff because it doesn't really drop in price. I mean, you know, this game is not Nintendo in particular, but, like, especially Nintendo stuff just, like, basically never goes on sale. And if it does, it's, like, $10, you know?
Right.
You know, this was just one of those games. I mean, this is a game that I could see possibly going low in price at some point in the future, but it's also a game that could maybe get rare because it's, like,
I definitely want to buy it myself, too.
It's bizarre that it even exists in the United States as a retail product. We got two Canadian bucks from Calamari Fan. 5 days till the king returns. Let me think. Is some big game coming out like Friday?
Yeah, I don't know.
I can't think of it.
I don't know. Let us know what we're missing out on. I don't know. Well, thank you, though, anyways. Yeah.
For anyone who does not know, this is like kind of I want to say like the fourth game in a series that started on the Super Famicom, with really unique mechanics, and so the gist is you're this girl with a fishing rod, and she can use the fishing rod kind of as a grappling hook. But the mechanics of the grappling, of the swinging, is very unique. It's almost kind of like a rubber band. And it's like the most physics-y game that I'm aware of on a 16-bit on a 16-bit system. I mean, if you play the original game, it's just like, I can't believe this is on a Super Nintendo. It is... It's very strange. I've only played that version through the Vita game. There's a Vita game that includes like an emulation of the Super Famicom version. It's not a cheap game, but I would like to get it eventually, the Super Famicom version. There's also a PlayStation sequel, and there's like a few compilations, and then there's a... I think Sayonara Umihara Kawase came out on the PSP at first, but we got a digital version of
the Vita version.
Vita version, and but that's then they also got PC it. And stuff.
Yeah, and there was also a limited English version. I think it was by like
Strictly Limited. I think it was one of Strictly Limited's first games, if not their first. Maybe it was. Pretty early for them, I want to say, but I had already imported the physical version of the Japanese. What do you need me first?
Is the thumbnail still showing Sonic 3? Whew, man, there's some major criticism.
Yeah, some people
my Sonic 3 abilities last week in the comments to the archive of that.
Yeah, it was to some people apparently
like,
unacceptable.
Why are you even playing this if you don't?
If you're good,
if you're not very good at it, they're really upset at my abilities of it.
Yeah,
I said, you know, you might be overlooking what, but the stream is mainly for. It's mainly to hang out and talk, and sometimes we finish games, sometimes we don't. But I feel like a lot of times, most of the people that watch don't watch to see us do really good at a game.
Yeah.
We got $2 from Calamari Fan again. $2 Canadian. Saying, hey, have you seen Sasha's Party? And I have not seen Sasha's Party. That's the Seth Rogen animated food film.
So I've already played a bit. It's I'm not doing very good to start for sure. But the only one that I've played terribly much of is the Vita game.
Right.
But the mechanics are similar, but the setup is similar. Or the mechanics are similar, but the setup is quite different. I haven't played that in a few days. I mean, I don't know. I played like 12 missions or something. But as far as I can tell, this is... It's not exactly an open world, but I do think it... The inside of the game case has this, like, large map.
A world map.
That, like, looks like... It makes it look like a continuous world, but you accept these quests that put you in a starting point, and you, like, you know, deliver items or something. So it's kind of a lot more... involved without particularly being complicated either. I was trying to get that backpack over there, but it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, Craigwan, I'm not super like upset about it or anything like that. I just thought it was funny that more so on that stream than anything else than we've ever gotten. Saying, you know, why did you die on the first boss? You know, I'm expecting like some at least a little bit of competency in your gameplay. And, you know, like, sure, I did get a game over on the first boss, but then I didn't game over until like almost the end of the game after that. So, you know, that's what someone says, you know, they said maybe you should get good at this game before you start. I'm like, I literally decided to play it 45 minutes before we went live. So, you know, it was just funny.
There's a bit of conversation in this, but it's pretty, you know, pretty snappy. It's nothing you have to pay too close attention to.
We got $3.50 from Tony Galvin. Oh, thank you. Says about Tree Fitty. Thank you.
Accurate.
What are our thoughts on the Switch Lite? Do you think that it at least included HDMI ports?
I feel like the price difference makes it worth... I mean, considering who they're targeting, I mean, you know, there are people who are like, I basically never dock my Switch, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
So I think they made the right choice because, I mean, it's $100 less. That's, I think, a pretty nice accomplishment that they were able to make the gulf between models that wide.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a good... I don't need one. I kind of like how it looks, but I certainly don't need one.
But what I think is interesting, if it has doesn't have TV out, but, like, the TV out is basically just like a mode that it switches to, and it uses, you know, the extra horsepower of the dock.
I mean,
right?
The dock itself, I don't think it would be accurate to say that the dock itself has
horsepower. Well, but I'm saying it can put some extra horsepower into, like, it doesn't have to worry about battery life or anything like that.
Right. I mean, yeah. I mean, Digital Foundry was saying that. It appears to be using a more advanced version of the chip that like in theory could be more powerful if, you know, they would utilize it for that purpose.
Yeah, maybe they will. I mean, maybe they will, like.
But they've instead utilized it for better battery life. Or at least that's, you know, the assumption.
Right.
Oh crap, there's pictures.
But I mean, I think just having the ability to go into a TV out mode, if it was had like a plugged into something. It seems like that would be something as easy as like just in the front.
Yeah, I mean, unless it does require more on the USB-C end than we think. Of course, it could also just be, you know, that it would cost more to package in a dock. I mean, it'll be interesting.
But I mean, if they just sold it for people that wanted it, you know, I think that would be certainly,
yeah,
seems like it would be possible.
I mean, maybe. I mean, who knows?
Right. I mean, it doesn't do anything to improve the performance of the system, but I mean, it provides a constant source of power so that it can utilize extra horsepower within itself, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's all theoretical. I'm sure people will... I mean, I think that the new processor has, like, some sort of precautions against hacking, but I'm sure people will figure something out. And then they'll really be able to see if it could be more.
We got Joe Redifers in the chat. GameStack is in the chat saying the scrolling in this game looks like it's disorienting, it's kind of choppy. Do you feel like
possibly what he's seen is that it appears to be very low resolution. Oops. Oh gosh.
The backgrounds are, or just the game in general?
Oh, the game in general, like, I don't know, it looks kind of 720p to me with no anti-aliasing. Like, I basically think that dock mode is running handheld mode.
Why would they do that?
I don't know. So, in other words, there's no anti-aliasing, so I think, like, the choppiness that you're seeing is, like, the shimmering of no anti-aliasing.
Okay.
I mean, you know, hey, this is not a series I would expect to be, you know, high fidelity.
Yeah. And yeah, I mean, the movement of the background is it. I can see how that'd be a little disorienting, for sure.
Oh, you mean like the actual background?
Yeah, just,
I mean,
kind of,
I haven't even,
in your direction.
Honestly, I haven't,
like,
even really
scrolling. Sometimes it's not. Makes me think of.
Oh yeah, I see what you're talking about. I hadn't even paid attention to it.
There's a Super Nintendo game. It's like, what is it? Gym Powers, and the 3D Gym Powers.
Oh,
game,
where it's like it goes the wrong direction.
Yeah, and it's very disorienting.
I see what you mean about the background now. Like, I honestly, like, hadn't even looked at it.
Yeah, I might not notice it. I'm only watching 40p. It's windowed.
All of the items that you collect can you can, like, make food out of them. Which everything I can make seems to be some form of pizza so far. but they also give you, like, a buff as well. But you can see that I was running low on my hunger. But it's, like, so easy to get supplies, it's, like, not particularly an annoying thing. Seems just like a fun game to just, you know, play real casual.
Yeah, I mean, well, we were really trying to play some Blazing Chrome, which I'm very excited to try out.
I'm waiting for the physical to actually buy.
Right. Well, I submitted to see if we could perhaps get a review copy so we could stream it. But maybe that will be.
You said that you heard something about the issues of the Switch version, but John,
I've
said it was fine as far as he could tell.
I've heard something about, like, a lot of missing certain, like, missing animation and, like, frame skips. Hmm. Like, when you shoot, like, bullet shells come out of your gun, and, you know, like fall on the ground next to you, and that's like missing from the Switch version, I heard. Nobody else is hearing the game audio cutting out. Corey and Troy aren't cutting out, but the game definitely is. Well, that's the anti-aliasing on the audio. Their audio is running at 720p in dock mode.
I mean, I don't know what would be up with that. It's, I mean, I've got levels here. Is anyone else hearing it that way?
I don't know. It's cutting out a bit and a bit too loud, the background. How does my voice sound? I've noticed that the last couple times that Tri has hosted this stream that I've been kind of blown out. I want to make sure that I'm not blown out.
I mean, I assumed that it would not be all that loud, but
yeah.
I mean, could it have been some sort of auto adjustment thing that, I mean, as far as I know, there's no auto adjustment type thing on, but I mean, I don't know. OBS has had some changes recently that I may have not been aware of.
Okay. The comments are kind of mixed. Some people are saying that you and the game are too loud and I sound fine. A lot of people are saying that everyone sounds fine. Sorry, though.
I mean, you know, we can only really go by the levels.
Yeah. The game is having audio issues. Did it have a patch? Is the game...
No, I mean, need it. There are no audio issues coming out by speakers. I can't remember if there was a patch. I mean, no, I mean, it sounds perfect on my end.
I'm slightly quieter than the rest, but that's good. I'd rather be maybe quieter than too loud the way that I have been the last couple. So has anybody in the chat played Blazing Chrome? I've heard that it's awesome. It looks awesome. How's the music in it? I haven't watched any gameplay outside of like the trailers. Mike Matei says that Blazing Chrome is better than Contra 3. I feel like it's more of a Contra Hardcore, though. Like it's more like that than. And Contra 3. I don't know if I would consider them like
they're very different games.
Yeah.
It definitely looks like it takes after Hardcore to me.
Yeah. I mean, that's clearly the inspiration.
Oh, refreshing the stream fixed the audio? That is weird.
It's a sweet spot in difficulty. I mean, it looks awesome. I mean, it looks like, I've heard people say, I finished it the first day, which is good. I've heard it's like 40 minutes long, maybe. Just a pretty good. That's the kind of length that I can generally get behind these days, it feels like. I mean, seriously, I haven't had any time to devote to games as much as I've wanted to.
Yeah, I mean, you started Bloodstained and haven't had a chance to continue it at all.
I haven't even gotten back to it because it's just been one thing after
you
another.
You might have to restart it. I mean, I don't know about you, but I always find that if I stop playing a Metroidvania game for even, like, a week, like, I'm just like, I have no idea what I was doing anymore.
Yeah. Oh, we got a $2 donation from Robbie Huang, who says, have you played Elkahest? Amazing music. That's the I mean, I feel like we streamed that a long time ago, maybe the third stream that we ever did.
Really?
I played a fan translation of that.
Oh yeah, that's right,
just for a minute. That's the Squaresoft one. We stream that game the day that Iwata died.
Which game?
Alkahest.
Really? It was that long ago that we started streaming?
Yeah, this is our 203rd stream right now.
I guess I should rather say it was that long Iwata died. That's, wow.
It's 4 years ago. We got a $5 donation from Craig Wan. Wow. Says, if you guys come to one of our conventions here in San Diego or any convention in Southern California, I would attend your panels in a heartbeat.
We'd love to. Actually, just record a video today. We'll put it out on the channel next week.
Probably Tuesday or so. Yeah.
Yeah.
Tuesday, Thursday. It's just like a update video slash con.
Well, mostly a con announcement video, but I also like throwing a few like, hey, what are we working on sorts of things, which is, stuff that we talk about on the streams anyway, but not everyone watches the streams.
Yeah. We got a $2 donation from Bubba D. Matt, 812. Thank you. Says, can you recommend any noob friendly game? Just got a PS4.
What defines noob? New to the PS4 or new to what?
Bloodborne, I'd say, is the top one.
No. Yeah, that would be a cruel game.
Assault Suit Lanus. I went through a lot of my hard drives this past week, and I made a B-roll and a G-roll drive that just has stuff that I can pull from that I have archived. And if I'm looking for, it's like I separate everything like console specific or things like inserting cartridges into a system, stuff like that, like sorted everything out. And I found the folder of like some of the bloopers that we've used and like previous videos, but also there's a lot of stuff that we didn't use. And there's this one where I'm talking about Assault Suit Lanus, but I say Assault Suit Lanus. I don't know why, but it was very funny to me when I did it. Assault Suit Lanus. I have to look at my list. Spider-Man is actually a lot harder than I thought it was going to be.
Oh, really?
So I would not say that Spider-Man is a noob-friendly game. It gets pretty challenging in the third act. So I don't know why I just started talking about a non-noob-friendly game. let's see here. I don't know. There's not a lot here that I can say that are really easy. Or I just haven't had a chance to play them.
Yeah, I mean, I am like 2 or 3 years behind on AAA games right now.
Yeah.
Not that I want to be.
We got a $2 donation from Marco Sims. Who says, thank you. Says, do light gun work on small PVMs? And they do. Yep, you'll have no problem.
Yeah, I mean, obviously there will be a sweet spot of distance for any size of TV.
Yeah. But, I mean, you used to play on like a 13-inch or something, right?
Well, I mean, as a...
Or you have.
As a kid, like, I had a 13-inch TV.
But isn't that how you played through, like, the PS2 ones?
Yeah, I did. That's right. I forgot. I always forget that we did that video where I looked at a bunch of PS2 light gun games.
Yeah.
Why is my hook stuck?
I got another $2 donation from Bubba D. Matt, 812. Thank you. Says, been stuck with the RetroPie forever. kind of on that tangent of a RetroPie, you just got you got a mister.
Yeah, I did. I only just picked it up for my PO box.
You're almost thinking about playing it tonight, but it takes a little while.
Well, yeah, I mean, I mess around with it a bit. It definitely will take some fiddling to sort of feel comfortable with it.
Oblivion YX. Ratchet and Clank is a very new friendly game.
Oh yeah,
that's a great suggestion.
Yeah, I mean, especially because it's like, you know, a reboot of the series too.
Yeah. Craig Wine, there is definitely going to be a Genesis mini episode, just because I think it'd be fun to do. For one, I have it pre-ordered. I'll probably end up buying like a Japanese one or an Asian one as well, because it has Alien Soldier on. I think it's fun. You know, just like I'm gonna get a Japanese PC Engine mini, and you're gonna get a TurboGrafx.
I'm gonna get the US one. Do those go up for pre-order tomorrow? I mean, I don't know.
I think they go up for pre-order tomorrow. Yeah.
I don't know if there's like a risk.
It's such a weird lineup, the way that they're even doing it.
Yeah, because they're like 50 games, but like it's like mostly
there's
like,
so many duplicates.
Yeah,
it's weird, but I mean, there's still some really good lineup on it. Yeah, it's surprising. They got a $2 Canadian donation from Dark Globe 1977. It says this donation is for a future Mr. episode. Well, now that Tri has one, it takes a lot of pressure off of having to do one. We can both contribute to it.
Oh crap!
I mean, I think that you can expect to see one from us at some point.
And if nothing else, it will certainly be integrated into other topics.
Right.
I mean, oh man.
And that's the thing, like, there's things change with it so quick also that doing a video on it alone means it's going to be outdated really quick anyways. I'm not sure if he's still here, but GameSec did a video on the Mister, and I wonder how much of the information in it has been changed outdated at this point. Then? Yeah. I mean, it was 2 months ago.
I think this is the point where the game will become a lot more challenging.
But I'm excited about the Genesis. You know, I think it's... I've been kind of on a big Genesis and Mega Drive kick as of late.
You actually just won an auction you're pretty excited about.
Yeah, I just won a Japanese copy of Hellfire for the Mega Drive that I've been watching for a while, and I just didn't see any bids on this one. It's been generally going for like $50 for the Japanese version, and like 100 something for the American version. And I said, you know, I'll put in $30 and see what happens. And I just won an auction for it, and I won it for $17. And it's complete. And
is it shipping
the label
from
is kind of coming off a little bit. No, it's in the U.S. It's like in Arizona, I think. Yeah, that's the thing with the PC Engine Mini. It's the it has Snatcher on it, but it's like it's just Japanese. Like, I wonder
that would
how
be
hard
a
it would
big,
be.
Big deal if it was.
Yeah, I mean, even if they kept the voice acting in Japanese but translated the game, I mean, they have a translation for it.
Yeah. Oh wow, we got 1, 2, 3, 4 from Tony Galvin.
From thank you. So it just became the proud owner of Phantasy Star Complete Collection on the PS2. Thanks for showcasing on our channel. I love it. Only way to play Phantasy Star 2 in 2019. Yeah, I mean it's the best way. As of right now, for sure.
I'm still planning to risk playing the Genesis original. We'll see.
Yeah. Until you realize that you're spending an entire week grinding. You're like, you're gonna be doing other things.
Yeah.
While you're playing.
I mean, that's how I... Like, the original Dragon Quest is the one game where I was, like... trying to, like, do other things while playing it, because it was literally nothing but grinding.
Well, I mean, Phantasy Star 2, it's close to that. Yeah, Attack of the Pixels, I feel like we've been, like, both Tri and I have been spending a lot less time, like, online and in various capacities, I think, just in general.
Oh, yeah. I mean, in a lot of ways, in some ways it's intentional, in other ways not, but
yeah,
it's, I don't know, it's also kind of nice.
Yeah. I mean, I always feel bad when there's, for some reason, the Facebook Pages app on my phone stopped working, so I don't get any, like, notifications of people message on Facebook, and I've, like, done nothing to fix it. I feel kind of bad sometimes when I log in and check it, and there's, like, 14 unread messages.
Oh crap!
And I'm like, well, it's overwhelming, and I don't know if I can.
Yeah, whoa. I mean, I one thing that I do really keep up on top of are comments on videos on the channel itself. That I keep up with pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, you know, well, I always check Twitter like throughout the day, and you know I have the notifications pop up on my phone, and I just don't post very much.
I mean, you know, we're busy making stuff.
Yeah, that's,
I mean,
that's how it is a lot of times,
especially for me. I feel like if I am spending too much time, like It often takes me a long time to, like, get into my work groove. And so if I'm, like, constantly, right, like, checking stuff, then I just, like, never get my groove.
Yeah, exactly. And when you're really working on something, you just got to turn everything off and just let
focus.
Let it go. I mean, as I think Attack the Pixels is saying, like, the bigger channel gets, the more influx of communications you guys are getting, you have to keep up with. And that's the thing, you know, it's at some point you just got to say, okay, like, I can't respond to everything. I will do the best that I can, but I mean, sometimes I can't respond to everything, and sometimes my responses will be very quick. And you know, that is just the way it is. I mean, like, we do our best to, we stay decently on top of comments. I think we respond fairly often to, like, is a lot of comments. I think I'm pretty proud of, you know, you do a lot of comment responses. Mm-hmm. I think that's.
I mean, especially
that's
like questions.
Like it's kind of like your main. Your
that's
like
that's
your
my main interaction, I guess.
Yeah. And they're usually, like, your answers are usually pretty in-depth with stuff.
Yeah, I mean, but, you know, a lot of times there'll be a question that's like, oh, I don't even know. So, like, sometimes I'll, like, try to point someone in the right direction, or, you know, sometimes I might just not say anything at all. You know, sometimes other people do, you know, reply.
Yeah. Exactly. So, Yeah, I mean, it is what it is. It's okay. So that text just stays up there in the corner the whole time.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I don't know if there's a way to turn it off. It hadn't bothered me.
Mm-hmm.
Quest info display off. There you go. There you go.
I was going to say, I'd be afraid that I'm like burning in.
I mean, you don't... Well, I mean, everything else stays on the screen, but I mean, usually the missions are short enough. This is the longest mission by far, so at this point... I wouldn't be worried about that, though. Not as, you know, relatively quickly as stuff changes. Yeah, I mean, you don't really need it because the yellow arrows point you in the direction for the quest, and then there's like a marker where you're getting what you need. So you don't really need to reference it.
She's, doesn't quite look anything like she looks like on the cover of the game.
Well, there's like a few different, like, there's like, like chibi short versions, there's like a medium version, and there's a taller version, and across all the artwork I've seen for some reason.
I mean, we'll always, I think, respond to as many comments as we can, you know, throughout. It just depends on how many there are, you know. We don't set aside dedicated time to respond to comments. I think it's just kind of like, oh, you know, I just feel like I can sum this stuff up to, yeah.
Well, just, you know, especially like after a video launches, we look at comments pretty closely. But then, like, you know, as it wanes down, as a video winds down, you know, then it gets much easier to keep on track. You only really have to check once a day or so.
I see the Oblivion YX is mentioned LGR, and holy cow, did you watch that whole video of his?
I watched most of it.
It was awesome. It was awesome, just because I can imagine how I would feel in a similar situation. It wouldn't be like computer hardware like that, but it would be, you know, we had a similar situation. I mean, not to that level, but when we went to
the PVM place, yeah,
before it was like picked over and everything, and there was a whole bunch of them. Like, we'll just
How
many did we take? Like four of them in the back of the car.
We took three. But then what I did was an even bigger rush. Oh, I noticed there was a ladder there. What I did was an even bigger rush with the VHS tapes and the four PVMs and oh my gosh.
Yeah, so we can to a much, much or less extent we can understand the rush that must have been. And not only that, but you know, I think about how they only had the one day to go through there, and you think about all the stuff that you're missing.
Yeah, but it sounded like it was possibly going to be like closed forever and demolished within a week, and now it's not. So that's
and people can go there.
It sounds like the people it sounds like the family who owns it didn't understand or appreciate like the value of it. Like no one had like expressed to them like, hey, some of this isn't just old junk.
Right.
You know? And it sounds they understand now because they're like, they're saying, you know, if you're a museum, you can have stuff for free.
Yeah, I mean, it was pretty cool. It was a good watch. And I like that it was very video log-ish too. You know, where it's just kind of him on his trip.
Yeah, well, you know, I forgot that we Periscoped when we...
Yeah. Is Periscope even around anymore?
I mean...
I haven't seen anybody use Periscope in a long time. Was it replaced by something?
I mean, it's a good idea.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, it's...
It's cool. Oh, yeah,
and there was a point...
That's like all the way back to the beginning of the level. I had no idea that was going to be there.
What was I going to say? I was going to say something. I totally forgot what it was. Oh, well. Will there be a Dreamcast episode on RGP 200? Absolutely. 100%. 100%. See, I guess
think it's like dead.
Yeah, like that's a bad thing for people to be thinking, because it's definitely not. So what is happening right now, I think we've kind of gone into it a little bit in previous streams, but Tri is working on a documentary series. It's related to RGB stuff. I mean, there's a lot of people whose names are familiar from RGB episodes. So he's working on that right now, which means that I'm generally like making all the content on the channel. I mean, he's helping me, and Tri will appear in episodes. You know, he'll help with the script and then also record his on-camera stuff. But I am generally like editing everything and shooting most of the stuff. Although, you know, like the one that's going to be out next week is on the Game Boy Advance Consolizer, and you've shot a whole bunch of B-roll and stuff for that.
Yeah.
So while he's doing that, I'm basically doing like most of the stuff on the channel. And
which, I mean, you know, this documentary, like a lot of it, most of it is stuff we shot last year, but it took, you know, you had to get the M2 documentary done. And, you know, it was sort of a similar situation with that, where, like, I was editing most of the videos that were going up on the channel. So, right. It's similar in the sense that, you know, we had to get into a position where you could, you know, do what you're doing now and, you know, handling
right.
a majority of the work on the releases, because this is a project that just takes a lot.
Yeah. And his thing is going to be five episodes, five videos. I mean, I'm calling it like it's a mini series event.
Yeah.
Because
what I said in the, and the con announcement video was, I said it's a mega mini series. For us. I mean, we have never done something of this scale before.
There's a lot of people in it. It's pretty neat.
People are going to be impressed, I think.
Well, so what we're going to do though is we're going to release it once it's all done. We're not going to like release, it's not going to be like all at one time, but it's going to be one episode a week for 5 weeks. So every Sunday there will be an episode. And then maybe other episodes in between, like maybe smaller episodes during that. But I mean, a lot of that time will be used to get ahead on everything. But the key thing is once Tri finishes with that, we are changing over our workflow that we're going to both be working on the same episode together going forward. So that means that I am, like, one of us is editing, the other person is shooting video and recording game footage and just feeding it to the editor. So we can ideally get an episode done very quickly, depending on what the subject is. And at that point, we will be extremely, extremely, what's what I'm looking for? Just like, it's just going to be...
It's just going to be a
really good, like, flow of everything. Like, there's going to be episodes, like, every other week all the time. And then maybe some bonus episodes in between.
Yeah. But especially when that happens, you know, like, I think the Wii episode is going to be a priority, you know, bringing back RGB 200. And the Wii episode only because... Dreamcast,
for sure.
Huh?
Oh, Wii and Dreamcast.
Yeah, I mean, sure. The reason we're still waiting to...
I can imagine those being pretty close together.
Yeah, honestly. I mean, we're still waiting for HD Retrovision. Kind of for the Dreamcast, like that's
but they're getting pretty close. They're getting close.
It's something we want to include. Oh, has there been updates that I missed on Twitter?
Well, they said something about how they're have made some serious progress. Like they're waiting on like a test version from the factory.
Oh, okay.
So I think that once that happens, we're going to be like those like I think that 211 and 212 are going to be very close to each other, because not only does that need to happen, but I feel like we definitely owe our viewers that after the wait for that.
And plus I mean there's nothing in particular we're really waiting on for Turbo Graphics, is there?
No, I just need to borrow the units themselves.
I wonder, you know, I mean, depending on how the Polymega comes out, do we know when that's coming? Because that, I feel like that could
I don't think it has a... I mean, we're definitely doing a video on that as well. I mean, as long as we have access to...
I wasn't talking about Dreamcast, I was talking about Turbo.
Right, yeah.
Because I feel like people would be interested in that for Turbo Graphics, because it's a system that... You know, comparatively speaking, not a lot of people have. Or a lot of people think they don't want. Because they're like, oh, that's just too much to get into at this point.
Well, I don't know if that's super true now. I mean, it's, with the Mini coming out, I think that the Polymega, in terms of that, is less interesting, especially... I mean, I'm sure it will play ROMs, but if you need to... play your own games with it, it still doesn't make it any less expensive.
Yeah, that's true.
Really. But yeah, I mean, we'll definitely do... I mean, we want to do a video on the Polymega. I mean, we have no idea if we're going to be able to look at it or what, but the hope is that we will be able to. I know that they are aware of us. So I'm excited for that time, because I think that it's going to allow us to kind of live a more normal life.
Yes.
I mean, I said it like in a very long community post on our community page, where I was kind of explaining what was going on, and that I have a lot of freelance work right now, which means that I've been that combined with the channel, and then combined with like every day life, I've been sleeping like 4 or 5 hours a night for like 3 or 4 weeks now. Except for last night, I slept for 6 hours last night. But that's kind of what's been going on with that. Just because I'm up late working on different stuff, and then once I, you know, I gotta get our videos done.
I mean, something that you said years ago was that we can't be in this situation all the time where like every episode just like wipes us out. It's like, ugh, I need a break. You know, like this has to be something that we can just like any job, you know, work your hours and, you know, you're ready for the next week without being so exhausted.
Right. I mean, it's challenging. I mean, you and I have been talking a bit about the challenges of specifically like working from home and having a work-life balance, which is
right,
very
because and I've kind of come to a realization very recently about like how I have, you know, in the process of in some ways like making my setup like awesome and everything, my setup has also like kind of overtaken my house.
Right.
And I'm gonna die. It makes it so that there's never like, it never feels like I escape from the office because my office is my living room, you know?
Right.
So I'm kind of concocting an idea to move my office, you know, upstairs and also to separate the retro or more specifically the analog and digital,
or just like, I mean,
systems.
Really just game systems that you play more often, I guess.
Well, I mean, it's hard to say what do I play more often, really. I mean, is it retro? Is it modern? I don't know. But like, the stuff that I use for the show is generally the analog stuff.
Right.
So, like, that stuff needs to be connected to my office, but it's also kind of a practical consideration because, like, something I have not wanted to admit to myself is that it is becoming increasingly difficult to find room for new systems. And like the PlayStation 5 is coming out next year. Where am I going to put it? I don't know. So
yeah,
like that kind of realization was that like, oh, like my retro stuff should be kind of connected to my office and that can be upstairs as well. And like downstairs is just like, I can kick back with the HDMI systems, you know, in the evening. That I think, you know, that kind of solves a problem that would arise regardless, like just having all these systems in the same place. Just, I mean, it would be such a way that I could capture the HDMI systems downstairs as well with like my old computer,
right.
But, you know, because I do capture them.
Right. Really quick, we got a $5 donation from Bag of Schmidt. It says, you guys went all the way to the Wii and Dreamcast even before a single Xbox episode. I sense a bias.
No.
It mainly has more to do with like what we have on hand or what we have access to. Yeah. There's a lot of different versions of the Xbox.
I mean, and
we haven't,
you know, I mean, I'll be honest. I mean, I wouldn't call it a bias, but like, I just don't know as much about the Xbox as other systems. I mean, other than I use a component with it, but like I didn't have an Xbox back in the day. So I mean, I wouldn't call it a bias against it, but I is not as much an area of expertise for me as other systems. I mean, you know.
Oh, he's being cheeky. Hey. So, I mean, like, so you've been having a hard time with that. Like, and the thing is, like, I'm up in my attic, and you can vouch for this. It's like, all of my game stuff and everything, like, related to the show is up here.
It's in one area.
And there's, like, nothing else in the rest of the house.
That you have to, like, go grab.
Like, have anything to do with games at all, basically. Mm. And, you know, I can leave up here, and sometimes I just
spend
a lot of time like hanging out, and even think about it. It's just like I'm away from it.
Yeah, which is like, I mean, it's you know, I mean, I think most people would think like you know, like why should you need to get away from games? But it's like, you know.
Well, I mean, I think that you felt exactly that way.
I did, yeah. But I'm also having some, I guess, revelations lately of like why I sometimes feel stressed out a lot, and it's because it's like I am in an environment where I always feel like I could or should be doing work.
Right.
You know, and I mean, you look over your shoulder, like,
oh, I guess maybe I should like record something for like an upcoming episode.
Yeah.
It's smothering you.
Yeah.
Is what's happening. You're just like.
And that doesn't mean you're overtaken. Not. That doesn't mean you're not, you know, passionate about it, but. Oh, do I need to go down the elevator? It just means like
you need to be able to look at this stuff, and
it's what anyone said. You know, it's what you know. The classic, you know, too much of a good thing, right? You know.
Yeah.
You just gotta have a little balance.
Yeah.
And you know, I mean, there's a big difference between, you know, playing for pleasure and, you know, playing for an episode. And you know, it's not that, you know, it's not that I don't enjoy you know, working on episodes, but if you do too much work, you know, you just get exhausted. I mean, work is still work, right?
Right.
So I have been trying lately to like stop working at dinner time. Like, you know, I have found that to be very important. And I've actually been making some good progress in a lot of games lately. I mean, I beat Fire Emblem Fates, which was on my backlog. You know, this is since I really like started dedicating all of my work time to the documentary series. I beat Fire Emblem Fates. I beat Bloodstained. I've been working on Valkyria Chronicles 4. Mario Maker. So,
mm-hmm.
You know, it's I feel like not only have I been more productive lately, but I've like in my work, like I've just been working better. I've been also getting a lot of game progress done too, so that feels good.
I see, like, believe me, I'm saying you guys are doing video game stuff for money, not for fun. You all need to go outside, go for a hike. I mean, that's why I have all this stuff up here and I don't have anywhere else in the house. I have two kids, so I'm away from the home a lot too. You know, I have a lot of stuff having me doing it, everything. Like yesterday I was out all day, you know, I went swimming yesterday at a public pool with my kids, and did all this other stuff. I didn't even turn on my computer until 11:30 at night last night. I didn't even come up here until 11:30 at night last night. So I mean, it's definitely. I mean, the only reason I have been feeling overwhelmed is it's not because of the channel at all. It's just because of like trying to keep things consistent on the channel, in addition to doing like. Three different freelance jobs, editing jobs that I'm doing at the same time. So a lot of times I will be moving from one project to another just to kind of stay on top of like the client's requests for certain things. That said, GBA Consolizer video should be out next Sunday. By this time next week, you will probably watched it.
That's the plan.
Yeah.
I mean, I've already given you a good bit of material, and I'll continue to get more over the next few days.
Yeah.
You shouldn't have a hard time putting it together.
Yeah. Oblivion YX, I mean, you know, the physical condition aspect of it is very true. I'm going to be making a concerted effort to get up a hour before my wife, like since I work from here, you know, I'm here all day long, but you know, my kids are on summer vacation, so they're here, but we have a babysitter that comes 3 days a week. And I feel like I can't do this when the babysitter's here because I should be working, but I'm going to be getting up like earlier than my wife and kids so I can go to the gym 3 days a week.
When are you going to
sleep?
Which
is something that I, well, you know.
Like, are you going to go to bed earlier?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's going to be my, that's like kind of
I mean,
my,
I know you aren't as like, you seem to not be as dependent on sleep as I am.
Well, I mean, that's because like I've had two kids and I know like what is like a full night of sleep is just not something that really even happens.
Yeah.
But
I mean, I have to have 7 hours of sleep or else I'm.
See, I can't even think of the last time. I mean, even times where I could get like 7 or 8 hours of sleep. Like, I don't, because I think, like, oh, I could be doing something else during this time. And also, like, sometimes I will have the opportunity to sleep like that when, you know, like, my wife and kids are, like, go to visit her parents for the weekend. Mm-hmm. But the problem is like, it's stupid, but, like, I'm in my house by myself and I can't sleep. Because it's such a weird feeling. What is my training regimen like? It has been non-existent lately, but I mean, it used to, like there was a point in my life where it was very good, where I was lifting 3 days a week and doing 3 days of cardio and Sundays off. But right now, I mean, I definitely have a desire. It's something I've always wanted to do, and you know, I've done it on my own. I've done it on the treadmill. I've done it just, you know, like on a track before, but I would like to actually do like a real 5K. And I think like it's not even that far. I mean, really, and considering like there was a point where I was, you know, when I lived in New York and I was, you know, working like a normal, like I was working 10 to 7 every day or 5 days a week. And, you know, I could run like I ran like 5 miles, like 2-3 times a week. But like after I moved to Cincinnati and we had our second kid, is that's when I started like gaining a bunch of weight, and it was very hard for me to just find time to get to the gym. And then like I messed up my knee doing that deadlifts, and I stopped going to the gym that often. And I think like my knee hurt because of like doing a deadlift and also gaining weight. So now that I have like drop a bunch of weight, I mean, I'm 195 pounds now, and like last, I guess probably last April or so, I was probably like 245, I'd say. So, I mean, the idea is I would love to finally do a 5K, and they happen all the time. And I feel like I could absolutely do it. It's just I need to get back up into going to the gym. And I do enjoy running at the gym, and it's like it's such a good time. And it's such a good time to, like, think about stuff. And there was also a point where, you know, doing the show, I would be able to, like, work out certain, like, editing problems and stuff like that, just being away from the home.
Yeah, I mean, getting away from your computer, no matter how it's like a good way to is you know, like, as I've been, oh gosh, as I've been working on the script for this doc series, like literally every time I go to the bathroom, like, I think of a way to, like, solve a script problem, you know?
Yeah. Evan Magoon, you should, if you want to see me looking as unhealthy as I've ever been, watch the game soundtrack video at Game Dave's house that we did. And it's like, that was like the peak of my heaviness, I think, at that point.
And also the widest camera angles.
Yes. And seeing that, that was very much a, oh my gosh, I gotta, what happened? But if you look at that video and you like look at something like a recent video, I think there's a pretty big difference. I mean, I can understand the appeal of playing DDR, but I mean, I think it does me good to exercise and stuff and like be away from games. I don't really have a lot of desire, even though, you know, there was a point where I was kind of into the app called Fitocracy, whereas, you know, you work out and you log your workouts and you get points and you level up and all that stuff. Like, it gamifies working out. But I don't have a lot of interest in having a game be my workout. Yeah, I mean, I like just running. I think I just had to stop doing it because my knee was all messed up, and it's been fine since I've dropped this weight, so I think that I can easily get back to doing it. It's just the fact that now I got to build myself up again to running. It's fun. It's a good time to, like, listen to music and, you know, sometimes music will inspire you in different ways.
Will there be a computer monitors episode in RGB 100? I don't know if it would be a 100 series, but I have kind of wanted to, like, look at, like, you know, outputting line doubled 240p or 480i to monitors with scanline generators and stuff, and comparing that directly to PVMs, because a lot of people are interested in that.
Yeah.
Which is something I haven't got around to doing, but it's an idea I certainly have.
Yeah, bicycling is definitely better for your knees than running, for sure. And, you know, I like biking as well.
My mom just got a, you know, a stationary bicycle because her, like, her leg has been.
Oh, yeah.
Sort of had nerve pain lately.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's what was happening with my knee when I was having problems with it. I think I had, like, a pinched knee, pinched nerve or something like that going on. I did, like, the, like, high-intensity interval training. I did that before, that's why I was in pretty good shape when I was living in New York, like before the channel started. But yeah, I mean, it's fun, and it's also very efficient. I would like to definitely work up to something like that, but I just need to, like, get into a routine again. It's my life and gaming hiring. At first, I thought it was a crew of 10 people. No.
Yeah, I mean, believe me, if we had the money to hire people,
yeah,
I would absolutely love to make my life easier.
Yeah. Although, you know, we get these these emails every once in a while and saying, like, can you imagine being able to have a video completely edited for you in less than 24 hours.
Yeah, it's like, okay, like, dude, did you ever watch one of our videos?
You clearly haven't watched one of our videos.
Yeah.
Like, if it was that easy, then yes, that would probably be worth it. If you could make it look as flow and work in exactly the same way. But yeah, that's not something that.
Yeah.
It's very clear that they did not watch.
Yeah, or they're just thinking about, like, you know, there was this video, like, in the that they were linking for a while in the new YouTube the new design for the YouTube studio.
Yeah,
and they were like leading this thing, and you know, I mean, I no offense to the guy, I mean, I don't even know who he is, some YouTuber, and his thumbnail had him thinking like this, and on the thumbnail said, "Why B-roll?" And it's just like I understand, because like, I mean, you know, there's nothing wrong with the jump cut, talk to the camera thing. That's a lot of just what a lot of people do. And they're successful at that. But for us, like, nothing, like, the channel wouldn't exist if it weren't for B-roll. Like, I mean, that's like the basis for.
And you look at early B-roll for, like, if you look at early episodes, there's very little B-roll. Mm-hmm. Then you look at something like. like the Fantasy Star episode that I did. Mm-hmm. And it's like basically the first 20 minutes of this video is all B-roll.
B-roll. It's not even direct capture gameplay.
I think, like, how did it get to this point?
And the thing that's the most impressive about it is that there is no there's no, like, screen captures of, like, no scans, no, like, website captures. It's like all, like, material shot off of, like, manual and art book pages.
Yeah.
That's real. That's more tangible, you know?
Yeah. Can you imagine how many gigs of B-roll you guys have for each video?
Several.
I mean, I think the Fantasy Star episode may have, like, I think that all the material and, like, game capture and everything was like 400 gigs or something like that.
The 4K episode, I mean, I can't check the size of that right now, but I'm sure that one is huge.
Yeah, Game Boy episode as well. But I mean, yeah, if you go back to some of those earlier episodes, like, I mean, I went into the hacks episode saying, like, I'm gonna really try to minimize as much B-roll as I can, and I didn't shoot a lot of B-roll for that episode. I mean, I can look right now to see how much B-roll is even in that. Let me look at the folder here.
Like, in the GBA Consolizer video, like, the first bit of that video will be fairly B-roll heavy. But then it's, it's going to be a lot of direct capture stuff kind of after we introduce the unit, you know.
So even the hacks episode had 207 gigs in the B-roll folder.
And that, like,
but a lot of that stuff is, like, stuff I didn't shoot fresh. I mean, that's what I've been trying to do, is a lot of this stuff has a lot of various uses. So I've been backing up, like, the really good shots that I know I'll be able to use in the future, and putting them on another drive so I can just kind of pull from that stuff as I need it, instead of shooting everything new. I mean, if you watch a lot of stuff, you'll see us recycle shots from certain episodes. And if we find that we use something a lot, then we'll stop using it after a while.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I guess one that comes in that I love to reuse, I've used reused as often as I can, is in the Mega SG video. There's a shot of, like, a corridor of Master System games. It's like a slider shot, and we put, like, a wide angle lens on it. So it's like this corridor of Master System games with the Mega SG in there. And it's like, I love that shot.
And you, I just, you know, when you first shot that, you were like, oh, I don't know, this is too much. And then,
yeah, well, I said it's too much, but I also said, you know, this may have been like the best shot I've ever shot for an episode.
Well, no. Still... You said, because there's another version that doesn't have Master System games on the bottom.
Like, right, it's just that's on the side. I use mainly is the one.
Okay. Because at first you're like, the one with the ones on the bottom is too much. I'm like, I don't know. I think it's pretty awesome.
Yeah. How big is our NAS? I think we're using like 9 terabytes or something like that right now.
And that, you know,
it's like a 12 terabyte, I think, total.
But that's like, that's not even where our raw materials are stored. Like, we, most of that is stored locally.
Right. How many reuses of that Wonder Boy clip have been used? Generally, those are recorded fresh each time.
Yeah. There have been a few times I've reused it.
Because it's been used in different systems.
Oh, I just realized how we can we even get Wonder Boy into the GBA Consolizer episode?
I didn't even think about it.
I didn't think about that at all either.
We'll see.
I mean, we'll figure it out. You know, I don't know if we've ever had an episode where it didn't even have gameplay. Like, there have been times where I was just like, oh, I'm going to, like, hide the cartridge in the background or something. Like, there's just like a random Genesis, like, kind of a little out of focus in the background. It's got Wonder Boy in it. Right. And I'm like, at first I put that clip in, a clip like that in, thinking, like, this is all I can do. And then I'm like, I can't live with myself if I don't have gameplay in there.
But I mean, like the stuff that was shot fresh for the hacks episode is very, it was pretty minimal. I mean, I think a lot of that, the size of that B-roll, it's got to be mostly from like the off CRT stuff that I do. Yeah, that the off CRT stuff accounted for 132 gigs of that, because I figured out a way to, using 2 capture cards in my computer, I am recording a 4K direct feed from my camera, which is shooting a CRT, and I also have my other capture card is just capturing the direct feed, so I'm capturing these both at the same time, so I can actually go back and forth. I could sync them up and go back and forth if I wanted to, and like, I didn't use a lot of that stuff. I just played a whole bunch of games and just kept it recording. So like, so that off CRT stuff, even though I barely used any of it, counted for 132 gigs. So I really only shot like 70 gigs of stuff for that. And even some of the stuff in that episode was like fake CRT. I mean, I figured out.
Oh, yeah. That was the episode where you like.
I figured out how to do it with this specifically, like with the overlay. I figured out a way to make an overlay like lineup basically perfect. Like, GameStack is very good. He has a filter that does it, and I did a very similar thing in Premiere.
But we're not going to do that in like intuitive episodes where like the visual matters. Like,
right, exactly. It's just a good way to get a certain
shot. It's more just for fun for like other types of episodes.
Right.
But we're not going to be like, this is what RGB looks like.
And I did something similar, you know, I figured out a way to make a grid pattern that I can put over Game Boy games.
Mm-hmm. Which you can do on the Consolizer, but of course it looks different.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, you can tell in the episode where I did that is because it runs at 60 frames. With the scan lines. Generally, like, our off-camera stuff is always 2997. Yeah. I just like how...
I mean,
I'm not a big fan of 60 frames per second live-action stuff.
Basically, I'll do it for CRTs, but...
What?
But...
Oh, see, I never do.
Well, if you're trying to demonstrate 480i, you have to.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Yes. Yes, exactly. But
I mean, it depends on the context. When I do it, it's a conscious choice. Like, Yes. Like, maybe I'm like comparing something to a, like a CRT shot to a direct capture. Like, I don't want it to look like worse just because it's like 30 frames. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's tough.
I'm glad the reaction to the ROM hacks video has been generally positive. A lot of people
other than like, people in disbelief that we didn't look at Sonic 3 and Knuckles.
Yeah, or Sonic 3 complete, and also like, there's no mention of Mother 3. That's and you know that like I understand like I actually had Mother 3 in there and decided not to put it on there because I just felt like it was something that has been talked about a ton already, and that's kind of the interesting thing that I realized after making an episode like that. Is a lot of times people just like to like hear about stuff they already know about.
Yeah.
Which I understand the appeal of that. Like it kind of validates
things
like
that
their enthusiasm
want.
for certain things for sure. Like I absolutely understand that. But when people say, oh, well, why wasn't this in there? It's kind of like, well, you know, if I put all this stuff in here, it would be twice as long and it would not have been not have been as fun to make. And I'll definitely do another entry of that series.
There was also a lot of criticism about like the that Earthbound hack, because they're like, you can already do that
right.
With the L button.
You can do that, but the hack, and you know, I probably should have said that it does other stuff, like it puts like the map screen on a shortcut button, like it does a lot of other. Button arrangements, not just that. I just mentioned the talking thing.
And like a lot of people keep, you know, quoting that apparently it was meant to be played designed to be played one-handed, which
I'm sure it's
quote that they've heard like a million times.
I mean a lot of Dragon Quest games have shortcuts like that, so you can do that. I know Dragon Quest VIII on the PS2 does.
Yeah, well, 11. I played 11 one-handed when I was like really sleepy. It was like because you can use the L2 button to turn the camera in one direction, of course, but you can also use it. I think it's L2 or maybe it's L1. I don't know. But you can also use it to talk to people too.
Right. But I'll definitely do another entry in it. I mean, I have plenty of suggestions and stuff for a whole nother episode. So it's fairly easy to make. But, you know, once again, you know, I think about, I made a conscious effort not to use as much B-roll, but then I start to doubt myself. And I think that's just like my own thing. It's like, well, I mean, are people going to be disappointed if there's like a lot more gameplay than B-roll and stuff in this episode? Are they going to feel like, oh, this is a step down from their normal stuff?
Like, well, I don't think people actually think that way. I mean, you know.
But I mean,
I know what you mean, though. I feel the same way. But at the same time, I think it's like.
I feel like you've been on the same level for the entire stream.
Well, there's two areas. I mean, visually they look similar. But then, like, there are certain paths that, like, the quest might have you retread.
Yeah.
But then, like, ultimately, like, the destination is often different. But I have been in this area before.
Okay. But I mean, I think that's something that I struggle with, and I sometimes just gotta say, you know, I can only do what I can do, and you know, I don't think that people are gonna be any less gonna be disappointed. Yeah, it is what it is. You know, we like to put little stuff in there to accentuate certain things. And, you know, there was somebody who said, oh, I wish you had just put all this stuff side by side with the original so we could see how a lot of this stuff compares.
You did that quite a bit,
like,
didn't you?
And I did that here and there throughout the episode, but I mean, like, you're essentially asking for me to, like, record twice as much footage as I could. But, you know, it is, like,
yeah,
I mean...
And, you know,
granted, like, you know, the, like, and I only think of that because of the amount of people that, you know, I just think about, like, the few comments that say that. And the people say that I move too much when I talk. Well, which is, like, it's something that doesn't happen in real life. And also, like, the other big one is, like, I can see the tendon in your neck. But, you know, the thing with that, you know, it's like I have no idea why that happens. I don't know if that's happening when I'm talking now. I don't think it does, but I think it just happens when I project my voice on camera, and it just naturally happens. I can't. I've tried not to do it, and I it doesn't happen when I'm just talking. I don't know if it's. I can't tell if it's happening right now, but I don't think it is, but. When I project my voice on camera, I think it just happens. Yeah, see, the tendon in your neck is just when you're being loud. And I'm trying not to. I mean, if you want to hear how, if you go back to like the really early episodes, and I'm like, hey, this is Corey. You know? It's like people are saying it's like ASMR, and it is, you know, because my daughter was like a year old and was asleep in the room next to me, and I'm just kind of talking. But, you know, as I got more and more comfortable with being on camera, like, I project my voice and I speak, I guess, I don't know, like, pretend like I have more authority when I speak, and it just makes my, you know, I can make it come out, and I'm like, oh, like that. But it just happens. What can I say? Hey, it's me. What if it was like in the very first video, in that Star Fox video? I'm like, hey, it's your boy Corey. In my, like, I'm just kind of.
But, like, I don't understand what when people are like, you move too much. Like, do people want to show, like, no enthusiasm or anything? Yeah. Like, I don't really understand what their basis for saying that.
I mean, I talk a lot with my hands, and I think that I talk a lot with my hands just in day-to-day life, too. And that just, I guess, I become more animated. If you go back to, like, really early episodes and see us on camera versus now, I think that it's a world of difference.
What's a world of difference?
Just our on camera abilities.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, I wouldn't necessarily claim to be, like, amazing at it or anything, but if you look at the old stuff, it's rough.
You know, it's fun to, I mean, we don't take any kind of, we don't take it personally, I guess. No. It's kind of like, oh, you know, like sometimes it'll
people
be like
just
a
have
mean
weird
thing
expectations
here and there.
Sometimes.
And yeah. I mean,
you know, I mean, you know, and again, like,
I send it to my wife. She's like, what?
I think another thing is, like, people kind of just, like, have changing like, YouTube has changed what people's expectations of, like, how people present a video. Like,
yeah,
you know, some people say, like, I sound like a newscaster, like an old newscaster, which, I mean, to be fair, like, you know, the guy who did the How to Beat voiceovers, like, that guy was my boss for a time. Yeah. And he was a newscaster, you know, an old school news reporter. So, I mean, I kind of learned, or it sort of like combined my own mannerisms with my own observations of how I saw him work. Into what I guess is my presentation style. So, yeah, I mean, but I, you know, going back to that video that was like, why B-roll? I saw some comments on there that were like, well, because one of the things was like, one of the reasons was he's like, some people don't like jump cuts. And I'm like, darn straight. Now, jump cuts can be used well. Of course, you know, it can be a stylistic choice, certainly.
Yeah.
But you have to know, you know, I always like to say you gotta know the rules to break the rules.
If you're having a jump cut every three words.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you gotta know the rules to break the rules, and you gotta know why you're choosing to make a jump cut. And there was a comment, though, that was like, some people don't like jump cuts? What? Like, literally couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
And that seemed very strange to me. But again, like, you know, I mean, I don't know if people are teaching video the same way that they did when, you know, you and I went to school. You know?
Yeah, but I mean, and
I don't think people are learning like the same rules we did.
Yeah, I mean, it's true.
But
it's
what? Our audience is mostly like in the 25 to 35 year old range, so, you know.
Well,
we have a somewhat older audience, so we can, you know, we can do things the old fashioned, aka the right way.
But we have no experience on camera at all.
Before this,
I mean, it's not something that we did.
I made movies with like my friends in high school, but that was.
And I didn't do that.
Well, you did a little bit.
A little bit here and there, but nothing. Nothing that I would remember now that I could utilize.
Mm-hmm. It wasn't like, I mean, not like techniques. I mean, we were not good actors, but we were, you know, it's just like you and me, we were interested in the process. It wasn't about acting.
Yeah.
It was about the filming and editing. Stuff like that. That was what interested us. You know, that was why we, you know, wanted to make videos. And
yeah.
So, I mean, you know, there was one guy who was, he was like a class below us, and he was like actually a really good actor. And we did a few videos with him. Ah, got the backpack.
Oh, nice. That's pretty great. Who is it just asking? Was it Oblivion Wax? Says Corey, who cooks more, you or your wife? My wife cooks vastly more than I do, and is much better of a cook. She grew up in a household who her mom like baked all the time with her, and she's just a really good baker and cooker. And she's very good at just making something out of anything that you have. She can throw together some good stuff without any real planning ahead of time. Yeah, I mean, I realize how how lucky I am about, you know, someone who is incredibly patient and very good cook and everything. Believe me. It was kind of crazy because yesterday she went to a camping thing with some of her friends with a lot of the other moms from around here. They went to some lake house for the night, and so I had the kids like all day yesterday, and it was believe it or not, it was the very first time that she went someplace for the night and I had the kids all night.
And like, normally, I mean, they're usually, like, at your grandparents or something.
Yeah, they go to their grandparents or they are just doing something else. I mean, I've gone places a lot of times, and you know, she's been with the kids, you know, like overnight all the time without me. Uh-oh. My stream stopped playing.
Uh-oh.
There you go. That's okay. I just need to hit that. So it went extremely well, believe it or not. I was a little nervous about it. But we did so much stuff yesterday. We took them to swimming lessons in the morning, and then we went, it was the citywide garage sale. Citywide yard sale, garage sale, yesterday. And we walked all around town and stopped at a whole bunch of stuff. And it was weird because I had done it in the past, and it seemed like everyone stopped selling stuff really early. And
yeah, I mean, that seems like how garage sales tend to be.
But it hasn't been like this in the past years that I've done it. But we went out at like it. We went out at like 12:30, 1-ish, and everyone was like kind of wrapping up, and you know, I bought got a couple of little toys for the kids. I managed to get looks like it's never been played or the manual has never been taken out of its case. I got a Wii Sports Resort because it was $1.
Yeah,
it was brand new basically.
Like it had been taken out of the shrink.
Yeah, I mean, it's just good to have. You know, you never know. It's $1, what am I gonna say? And then after that we went to like the other dads that were whose wives went to this lake house, like all got together at this like community pool. I mean, swam all day. Like, I know you're not a big swimmer.
I was at a time, but I sort of had a bad experience in swim lessons class that kind of turned me off.
Yeah.
I was...
Well, this was I mean, I don't know if it was... I feel like it's a fairly recent practice, but it was a saltwater pool. So it doesn't have like any of the chlorine or anything in it. So we did that for a while, and then we came home and we ordered pizza. So I mean, we did all kinds of fun stuff, and we went back out and we watched a movie at a friend's house, and we got home at like 11 o'clock and they fell asleep immediately. And I think they are so worn out that I woke up before them this morning and I went in and it looked like they didn't even move in their sleep, like they didn't even turn or anything. They were just in the exact same position they fell asleep in. But it was fun, and I'll tell you, it's really just drives home the level of energy that my wife puts in all the time. You know, because she does this kind of stuff a lot, and you know, it's like just made me have even more respect for the amount of energy that she puts forth. And I'm glad that she got to go and have a good time. Even though, I mean, she was really hungover this morning, but it's okay. She earned it. But yeah, we got pizza. It was pretty good. Usually we get it from like the local pizza place, but we ended up getting it from Marco's Pizza.
Oh, there's a Marco's that just opened here, but I kind of missed the old place. The place that was in there before was a Papa Murphy's. Are you familiar with Papa Murphy's?
Nope, I'm not.
It's a pizza place where you go and pick up a pizza, but you put it in your own oven. They call it take and bake. And
that's good.
And it was really convenient for like when Drum would come over for like a marathon movie day. Mm-hmm. And like he would pick up a Papa Murphy's on the way here, and then we could eat it when we were ready for it, so that was just it was really convenient. I mean, I know you can get a pizza like that at the grocery store, but it's not as good.
Yeah.
So so it was kind of a bummer to see it go. I've had Marco's before though, but there's one near my parents.
Well, the thing is,
I can't really remember what it tasted like, but I do want to try it again.
I mean, the reason we've been getting Marco's lately is because Marco's is the only one that seems to have like a gluten-free crust.
You've like kind of discovered that like you're kind of more sensitive to it than you thought.
Oh yeah, I mean, I think that, I mean, we're not gonna get into like all that stuff on the stream, but my daughter also has had a very specific sensitivity to gluten, and we weren't sure of it, but we've done our best to try to cut it out, and it's like it's really made a difference. And then I kind of realized like, oh, I feel kind of better too. I haven't had Pizza Hut in so long. And, I have a soft spot for Pizza Hut. Pizza Hut was my first job. So I worked there for like a year and a half or something like that. Like when I was a senior in high school and then very beginning of college. That I didn't eat it for years afterwards. And then I had it here and there. But I feel like last time I had it, it's so greasy that it just makes you sick. And the only other place that I've had something that has been as greasy a pizza as that is, I don't know if it's anywhere else, but it's called Jets Pizza.
Oh yeah, one of those opened within the past year here. It's Detroit style.
It's like sick to your stomach greasy.
I remember it being okay, but it wasn't like, it wasn't something I would order again unless I had like a crazy good coupon.
Yeah.
It was fine though. Pizza Hut, like I've definitely gone through a lot of phases with Pizza Hut. Like, back in elementary school when there was Book It. Did you have Book
It? Oh yeah, I remember. They still have Book It.
Is it still with Pizza Hut?
It might be. I mean, I don't know. Like, I know that Book It is still around.
Well, like you got your personal
Book It is awesome.
Personal pan pizza at Pizza Hut.
Oh yeah,
that was the stuff. I was into Pizza Hut at that time.
If you want to get a kid to read multiple books in 1987, Book It was like a good way to do it for sure.
Yeah. Well, I mean, for me it would have been a little later than, I mean, I would have been 3 years old in 87, So I didn't realize it was around that long before.
I remember Book It when I was in like second, third grade, for sure.
Yeah, but
that might have been right when it started.
But yeah, it was.
I feel it.
It was.
I'm gonna look that up.
It was a good. It was a good incentive for sure. I was way into pizza then, but then I kind of got out of it. I started to not like the taste of it so much anymore. And then when I went to college, my roommate was all about Pizza Hut. So I give it another try, and I was like, okay. It's kind of insane thinking back, but me and my roommate, through all 4 years of college, we got pizza almost every Friday night.
Book It looks like it started in 1984.
Wow.
So that would have been right. I mean, I would have been, I guess, in first grade at that point.
Yeah, but it was right around when Order of Ecclesia came out. My apartment when I started my job was like right behind the mall, which is where the Pizza Hut was, still is. Mm-hmm. And I had a pepperoni pizza from there, and I felt the most miserable, for an extended period that, all I'll say is I never threw up, but I wanted to. In retrospect, I'm almost surprised I didn't, go to the hospital. Because, the abdominal pain was, so severe that,
You probably just had food poisoning, maybe.
Yeah. But,
You're, in a cold sweat.
I mean, it was... I mean, for 24 hours, I was hurting. It was rough.
Seems like something that'd make you not want to eat pizza ever again.
I didn't eat Pizza Hut or pepperoni for a little while after that. But the crazy thing though is I after 24 hours it was boom, I'm good, I'm fine. And then 6 days later I didn't have a pizza and it happened again.
Oh, so bad timing, really.
I don't know how it happened. It was the exact same thing, exact same systems. It lasted for 24 hours and then poof, it was gone. And, nothing like that has ever happened again. But yeah, it was. Whew.
You ever gotten sick on a food and never eaten it again?
Yeah, tuna.
Really?
I hate tuna. I mean, I never really liked tuna that much, but I had 5 or 6 years ago, I was talked into trying tuna and mac and cheese. I guess that's a thing. Tuna in mac and cheese. Is that a thing you're familiar with?
Tuna? Oh, yeah, yeah. I like tuna a lot.
Oh, so. That was the first time I had had tuna in probably since high school. And it was something that I would eat that I didn't like. Well, this looks tricky.
Goldschlager. Yep. I mean, I think getting sick on something and never having it again is you think of Goldschlager or peppermint schnapps.
What?
Or peach liquor. I mean.
But yeah, that mac and cheese tuna, That was the first time I threw up in like 12 or 15 years. And I didn't like tuna to begin with. It is a definite never again. I know not all tuna necessarily looks like this, but like, especially at like Subway, when I see people order.
Oh man, see, I love like.
Oh, when
like,
I see
like
people
tuna salad and stuff, like, oh man, I love it.
No, that like shredded tuna, like.
I love it. It's great.
Dude,
I think
we're talking about meat that they get out with an ice cream scoop. What is appealing about meat that can be?
It's like a mayonnaise.
What? But it's meat. Mayonnaise isn't meat. I don't want to eat
any fish.
I don't want to eat any meat that can be served with an ice cream scoop.
I don't know. I
mean, do that Taco Bell. Okay, fine.
What about like ham salad?
Huh?
Like ham salad or something like that?
I'm not even familiar with ham salad. Like chicken. I'm not a big fan of chicken salad either. I guess I could see that being done with taco meat, but that's different. Like ground beef is ground beef. You know, it's ground up. You know what it is.
Well, that's basically what tuna is. Carter Dawson has a $2 donation. Thank you. He says, try spreading the tuna truth. Thank you.
I mean, I am not a big fish fan anyway.
Well, I'm not really either. Like seafood in general. But I mean,
I love shrimp, though.
See, I don't like shrimp.
I hate the texture of shrimp. I love shrimp. But, like, I'll eat, like, fried fish. But, like.
Yeah, well, I mean, fish fry is, like, that's, like, different. That's not even.
Yeah.
It's not even worth calling it, like, fish, really. Like, fish fry. It's really not.
I mean, sure it is.
It, like, cod or something like that.
I don't know. Just, you know, just.
Haddock, that's it. That's a fried haddock.
Just white fish, you know?
Yeah. Or like tilapia, I like a lot. But I mean, generally, I mostly don't like seafood. I just don't like the texture of it. Like shrimp, especially.
I don't understand how you can not really like seafood, but you like tuna. Like that. Tuna is the least appealing seafood. Well, maybe not. I mean, to be honest, I don't think I've ever tried like
a seared tuna steak. I like a tuna steak is very good.
I've never tried an oyster or a scallop to my recollection anyway. Like that just does not seem appealing. And I've known people who have gotten sick off of that. So
yeah,
it kind of makes me not want to try it.
I don't like crab. I just don't like that texture of like shellfish type stuff.
I don't really go for crab, but I mean, if it's, I'll eat crab in or on something. Crab cakes are okay. See, I am a crustacean man, I guess, when it comes to seafood. lobster, but I mean I never order it because like it's so expensive. But I like lobster
and butter. I mean
lobster.
The problem with like lobster is, I just think it's like it's gross when you eat it. I know that's part of the experience. You know, there's only like that green stuff in it. I don't know what it's called. But yeah, it doesn't really have. No.
Am I supposed to... Oh my gosh, do I have to do that?
You're supposed to stand on it?
Well, there was that tutorial that did about, like, doing some crazy, like, jump that I didn't quite understand the mechanics of, and I'm wondering if that's what I have to do? If I have to?
I don't know. I mean, I like certain like stuff, like oysters. Like I don't like oysters, but I mean, like I think I like the fried oysters, where it's just like the little fried things you'd get like at Long John Silver's. I mean, it's probably not even real oysters, anyways. But I do like New England style clam chowder. Strangely, the only thing that I've ever gotten sick on that I never ate again, you just went for it. Now you're all the way down there and hungry.
well, I just want to see if there's an alternate route, because I think that trick is going to be too hard to pull off.
The only thing I've ever gotten sick on that I never ate again is, strangely, it's applesauce.
Oh, I remember you telling me about that.
Yeah. I got sick on applesauce when I was in second grade, and I haven't eaten it since.
Oh, there's another one of these up here.
And the thing is you know, I would probably like applesauce if I had it now.
But you just, like, can't do it.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I can't now because it's been too long.
It's like it's been so long that, like, you feel like you're going to be, like, letting down your childhood self that said applesauce is gross.
Right, exactly.
You like don't want to admit at this point in your life that maybe it's not so bad. Have you ever had, like, apple butter on, like, toast?
Probably.
I mean, do you like apples?
Yeah, I mean, you ever have those, like, the Hostess apple pies? Like, I like apple pie. It's just, like, applesauce. I don't know. Like, I just think it was, like, bad timing, but, I mean, I projectile vomited applesauce. And just, I didn't eat it again. But, you know, you think of, like, the Hostess apple pies. Like the apple pies you'd get from McDonald's back in the day. I don't even know if they have them now. Where it's just mainly, like, sugar and, like, that gel stuff.
They have stuff like that, like Arby's. They've got, like, the turnover pies or whatever.
Hostess apple pies contain zero apples. That's true. Maybe that's why I like them so much. I like apples in general. I mean,
I bought Sandy some. It says they're apple flavored treats, and they, like, they smell like almost too strongly like apples. Like, it's almost kind of weird, especially for a dog treat. I'm kind of like, oh, is this okay?
Yeah, I mean, I love apple cider. Love going to, remember going when I was in Cub Scouts, going to like the cider mill. Man, just smelled so good. But yeah, they all make little McDonald's apple pies. I don't think that they have them anymore. I mean, they're basically the same thing as the Hostess pies, I think. I actually had, for the first time in probably 20 years. I mean, it's crazy to think about. I was going to say, for probably the first time in 10 years, and it definitely has been longer than that. And I said 20. I thought 20 years, maybe that sounds a little bit more like it might be true. And I think, oh my God, 20 years is a ho-ho. You like the
is that it's like a little chocolate cake with cream in the middle.
Yeah,
right?
It's like the roll. Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah. It's like a little Debbie cake, except it's a roll instead of a cupcake.
Yeah, it's a ho-ho.
Yeah. Have you ever had a moon pie? I think it's
probably.
I think it's more like a Southern thing, if I'm not mistaken. It's like it's just a.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that I
it's
have.
It's just like a chocolate covered, you know, sort of cookie cakey thing with cream in the middle, and it's like just like encased in chocolate.
I like the I don't know what they're actually called, but the other hostess, they're like the strawberry and like the jelly roll things. I like those too a lot.
I like never have Little Debbie stuff. Like, I mean, I like them, but I just like.
We're like going deep with this, these our food talk tonight. You know, I've been taking a lot of joy in getting different kinds of Pop-Tarts for my kids to see what they like and don't like. And I mean, I think that universally it's considered that the brown sugar Pop-Tarts are the best ones.
Is that a universal thing?
I mean, I think that everyone that I've talked to says, oh, you know, the brown sugar ones are the best.
I mean, those are good, but I never thought they were like an obvious winner. I mean, I think the best one are s'mores. S'mores Pop-Tarts.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
No. Brown sugar is best. Bob says the brown sugar is best at first, but they don't have the staying power. I disagree.
I basically never have Pop-Tarts anymore. I had them all the time in college, though. I usually ate them like
so,
not
like,
toasted.
Here's the real question is, I mean, I'm big on like non-toasted Pop-Tarts. I just like to eat them.
Yeah, like, I mean.
Not like cooking them. And my wife is like, are you, that's, no. Like, she is disgusted by the idea of not putting in the toaster first.
I mean, they're fine in the toaster, but I might prefer them not toasted. They're certainly more convenient not toasted. I ate a lot of Pop-Tarts in college, and I'm pretty sure I rarely toasted them.
Well, yeah, I mean, I it's just too much effort.
Oh, Aaron says frozen Pop-Tarts are kind of good. I never even thought of that. I like cake, like straight out of the refrigerator. Like, I love cold cake. Like, my mom always wants, like, if a cake has been, like, kept in the fridge, like, if my mom's going to eat it, she always wants it to be, like, set out for a while. But me, I'll like cake or pie. Like if you've been keeping it in the fridge, like I just love just having it cold out of the fridge.
In fact, I mean
there's always like if I'm at my parents' house and my mom just like cooked a pie or a cake and it's always like, oh, I want to have a bite while it's still fresh. But like at the end of the day, even though, like, my knee-jerk reaction is to want that fresh out of the oven bite, like, I prefer it cold than hot or warm, I would say. Especially pie. Like a blackberry pie is so much better cold than warm, in my opinion.
Yeah. I'm not a big pie fan in general. I like cake more, but. Yeah, I saw Lil Bud mention the buttercream icing, and my wife, whenever she makes cakes, she always makes buttercream, and sometimes there's always some left over, and I just eat right out of it. But we could probably keep on going all night with this stuff, but you know, it's a different spin, I guess, on our normal stream.
Well, I mean, it's fitting because in Umihara Kawase Fresh, she is a cook and she's making deliveries. Oh. That's what you're doing, is you're delivering food to the people in the town. So, you know, It works. Hopefully that wasn't too boring of a game to stream. Like I
saw some people saying like, oh, this is so it's boring to watch, but I feel like
it's very I think it's a very like
two crowd pleasing weeks in a row.
I feel like it's a fun game to just kind of like, it's a good like chill out game. Like it's relaxing, even though like the mechanics are kind of difficult, but like they're supposed to be, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it's just, there's something just fun and relaxing about it to me.
Yeah. And I think that's the key. After, I mean, what did we play? We played Sonic last week, and then the week before that, well, it was Mario Maker. So there was, you know, there's a lot of, like those, we had more people in those streams than most of our streams.
Mm-hmm.
So
I want to make some more Mario Maker levels, but I also kind of like almost wonder if I should wait for like an update, like if they're going to like add anything to it.
It's done or something like that.
Yeah, like... I've got a cool idea that I really wish I could do it in a single level, but I don't think it would be possible because I would need more gameplay types.
Mm-hmm.
But like, it would actually be kind of perfect. But I would have to make like 4 to 5 separate levels to like do what I wanted to do with it. And like right now I'm just like, oh, that'd be too time consuming, but I really want to do it.
Man, why are Mega Drive games so expensive?
Mega Drive?
Like Mega Drive games. What?
What about?
Just like Mega Drive games. You know, like I won this Hellfire and I was just kind of looking at some of the related auctions.
Mm-hmm.
And Mega Drive games are crazy expensive now.
I mean, a lot of them always have been because, I mean, the Mega Drive didn't sell that well in Japan, so there's comparatively limited quantities. I've only got...
Yeah, I'm just...
I've got 7 Mega Drive games.
I mean, I regret not buying more when I had a chance.
We gotta go back!
I know.
Gotta go back.
No. A Japanese Mega Drive.
The price of Mega Drive games has risen drastically since the release of the Mega SG. Is that true? Like, is that like actually like measurable and true?
I mean, I could see that being the case. But I'm happy I just won that Hellfire though for $17. It's surprising.
I don't know if there's anything else specific I want to get Mega Drive versions of. You know, I got that. The most recent one I got was Ragnacenti, which, like, you know, I can't play because I can't. No, I can't play the cartridge anyway because I can't read Japanese. But like that's when I finished the mini series documentary, like that's something I want to look into, is like actually taking a serious stab at learning enough Japanese to get by.
Yeah,
like that's, you know, it'd be handy.
Is that gonna wrap us up for this week?
Yeah, I guess so. So by this time next week, look for the GBA Consolizer episode. You know, probably released Sunday morning.
Yeah, and, I mean that's the intent.
And
major league catastrophic happens between then mm-hmm. and now.
I mean, we're not like holding hard and fast to a Sunday morning release schedule, but we're trying to target Sundays.
It might have early access for patrons depending on when I finish it. I mean, it's got a little ways to go, but I wouldn't expect it's not gonna be like a 30-40 minute blowout, but I mean, It's probably gonna be like 23 to 25 minutes, I'm saying. Thinking.
Yep. So because I mean really it's pretty straightforward. Its features are easy to use for the most part, and it's easy to demonstrate. So
Yeah,
so look forward to that, and we'll be back on Sunday playing something.
Yep. Heck yeah. Thanks everybody who hung out today and everyone who donated and stuck with us through the whole thing.
Yep.
We'll see you next week.
Later.
Take care.